Savitabha Sutta, this discourse appears in the Middle Essays, third book, 114th discourse, things that should and should not be practiced. I heard thus, at one time, the Blessed One lived in the monastery offered by Anathapindika in Jetaskru in Savatthi. From there, the Blessed One addressed the bhikkhus, "Because I will tell you the things that should and should not be practiced. Attend carefully and listen. Bhikkhu, I say, bodily conduct is twofold, consisting of that should be practiced and should not be practiced. That too quite different from each other. Verbal conduct is twofold, consisting of that should be practiced and should not be practiced. That too quite different from each other. Mental conduct is twofold, consisting of that should be practiced and should not be practiced. That too quite different from each other. Arousing of thoughts is twofold, consisting of that should be practiced and should not be practiced. That too quite different from each other. The gain of perceptions is twofold, consisting of that should be practiced and should not be practiced. That too quite different from each other. The gain of view is twofold, consisting of that should be practiced and should not be practiced. That too quite different from each other. The gain of a self is twofold, consisting of that should be practiced and should not be practiced. That too quite different from each other." When this was said, Venerable Sariputta said thus to the Blessed One, "Venerable Sir, the detailed explanation of this short exposition occurs to me. It was said because bodily conduct is twofold, consisting of that should be practiced and should not be practiced. That too quite different from each other. On account of what was it said by the Blessed One, when practicing the certain bodily conducts, if demerit increases and merit decreases, such bodily conduct should not be practiced. When practicing certain bodily conduct, if demerit decreases and merit increases, such bodily conduct should be practiced." So, the translation and talks about the merit and the demerit. And it is actually kusal and nakusal. So that is the skill state of the mind and unskilled state of the mind we are talking about here. It's not that ping-pong thing. So what Buddha said that when there are certain things, when you are practicing certain bodily conduct, if the skill state of the mind increases and then the unskilled state of the mind decreases, then we should be practicing such bodily conduct. If when we are practicing something, then the skill state of the mind decreases and the unskilled state increases, then we should not be practicing those things. "Venerable Sir, practicing what kind of bodily conduct does demerit increase and merit decrease? A certain one destroys life cruelly with bloody hands, is engaged in destroying without compassion for living things, takes what is not given, gone to the village or to the forest, takes others' belongings, with a thieving mind, misbehaves sexually with those protected by mother, father, brother, sister, or those protected by relations, misbehaves with those with husband and liable to be punished, or even with those made to vow garlanding. Venerable Sir, practicing this kind of bodily conduct, demerit increases and merit decrease." So you can see that Buddha has given the description where one should not be killing and the stealing and also the sexual misconduct. According to this definition, that one can have sort of a relationship only if that the father, mother or sort of people have given permission. Otherwise they are protected. So it is going to that detailed level. So these are called kaya samachara, the bodily conduct. And Venerable Sir, practicing what kind of bodily conduct does merit increase and demerit decrease? A certain one does not destroy life, is not cruel with bloody hand, not engaged in destroying, has compassion for all living things, does not take what is not given, gone to the village or to the forest, does not take others' belongings, with thieving mind, does not misbehave sexually with those protected by mother, father, brother, sister, or those protected by relations, does not misbehave with those with husband and liable to be punished, or even with those made to vow garlanding. And also practicing this kind of bodily conduct, demerit decreases, the merit increases. So that killing, stealing, sexual misconduct, one has to give up those things. So that those are the bodily, the things that we do from the from the body. So these are actually the three precepts in Eightfold Path, regarding the part related to the body. If it was said by the Blessed One, bodily conduct is twofold, consisting of that should be practiced and should not be practiced. That too quite different from each other. It was said on account of this. It was said, Bhikkhu, verbal conduct is twofold, consisting of that should be practiced and should not be practiced. That too quite different from each other, on account of what was it said by the Blessed One. When practicing a certain verbal conduct, if demerit increases and merit decreases, such verbal conduct should not be practiced. When practicing a certain verbal conduct, if demerit decreases and merit increases, such verbal conduct should be practiced. So these are vachi sankar, verbal conduct. So Venerable Sir, practicing what kind of verbal conduct does demerit increase and merit decrease? Venerable Sir, a certain one tells lies. Gone to an assembly, a gathering in the midst of his relations, gone to the guild in the presence of the royalty, asked to stand witness and told, good one, tell what you know. Not knowing, he says, I know. Knowing says, I do not know. Not seeing says, I saw. Or seeing says, I do not see. For a personal reason, on account of another or some material gain, he tells lies with awareness. It has happened quite a lot today, isn't it? Knowing and because of certain reasons, people are telling these lies, even in court. So, not knowing, they reply. Tell malicious things. Hearing something here, says it elsewhere to split these. Or hearing something elsewhere, says it here to split those. He disunites the united, separates the broken. Fond of disuniting and separating, talks words to disunite and separate. So again, that one is really a bad thing, you know, that people are going and hear something and then go to other people and tell these people are telling these things. Just to, it's happening in the office and environment as well. And quite a lot happening on that one. And talks rough and angry words that are sharp and piercing, arousing the anger of others and not conducive to concentration. Talks frivolously, untimely, untruthful and useless words that are not the teaching and the discipline. Venerable Sir, practicing this kind of verbal conduct, demerit increases and merit decreases. So those are the four things that we do from words. That is this lying, harsh speech, frivolous talks and slander. Venerable Sir, practicing what kind of verbal conduct does demerit decrease and merit increase? Venerable Sir, a certain one abstained from telling lies, gone to an assembly, a gathering in the midst of his relations, gone to the guild or to the presence of the royalty, asked to stand witness and told, good one, tell what you know. Knowing, he says, I know. Not knowing, says, I do not know. Having seen, says, I saw. Or not seeing, says, I do not, did not see. For a personal reason, on account of another, or for some material gain, he does not tell lies with awareness. Does not tell malicious things. So if someone may be telling things forgetfully, without knowing, that is allowed. Because he does not know. He said, I can't, or maybe he is telling, I can't remember. But this is what I think, you know, like that. But he says with awareness. He is not doing that one. Does not tell malicious things. Hearing something here, does not say it elsewhere to split these. Or hearing something elsewhere, does not say it here to split those. He unites them, united. He does not separate the broken. Fond of uniting and not fond of separating. Talks words to unite and not to separate. Abstain from rough, angry words and talks gentle words, pleasant to the ear, going straight to the heart and acceptable to many. Abstain from frivolous, untimely, untruthful and useless words. Talking according to teaching and the discipline. If it was said by the Blessed One, Bhikkhu, verbal conduct is twofold, consisting of that should be practiced and should not be practiced, that too quite different from each other. It was said on account of this. So we covered four verbal conduct and the three bodily conduct. And then Buddha said, it was said, Bhikkhu, mental conduct is twofold, consisting of that should be practiced and should not be practiced. That too quite different from each other. On account of what was it said by the Blessed One, when practicing a certain mental conduct, if demerit increases and merit decreases, such mental conduct should not be practiced. When practicing a certain mental conduct, if demerit decreases and merit increases, such mental conduct should be practiced. So these are mano samachara, done from the mind. Venerable sir, practicing what kind of mental conduct does demerit increase and merit decrease? Here certain one covets for other belonging, or may those things be mine, has an angry mind and defiled thoughts. May these being be beaten or killed or destroyed. May they not exist. Venerable sir, practicing this kind of mental conduct, demerit actually increases. It's a wrong thing over there. Demerit increases and merit decreases. There's a mistake in the internet version. Venerable sir, practicing what kind of mental conduct does demerit decrease and merit increase? Here certain one does not covet other belonging, thinking, oh, may those things be mine, hasn't an angry mind and defiled thoughts, thinks, may these beings abide happily without anger and ill will. Venerable sir, practicing this kind of mental conduct, demerit decreases and merit increases. So there is this loving kindness, and then he is not regarding things as mine. So this is something like that, having seen something while we are walking or something, and seen a Benz car or something, and then regard, let this be mine. So that particular thought is the done by the mind, so that is wrong. And then having seen someone, we think, let this guy be dead, you know, the troublesome person. So that one increases the unskilled state of the mind, akusal increases, and the skills one decreases. And so if you have the loving kindness, and then you can see that the skill states are increasing. It was said, Bhikkhu, arousing of thoughts too is twofold. This thoughts over here, chittupada, consisting of that should be practiced and should not be practiced. That too quite different from each other, on account of what was it said by the Blessed One. When practicing certain musings, if demerit increases and merit decreases, such musing should not be practiced. When practicing certain musing, if demerit decreases, merit increases, such musing should be practiced. When was sir, practicing what kind of musing does demerit increase and merit decrease? Here certain one abides musing to covet others' belonging, abides with angry musing, abides musing to hurt others. Venerable sir, practicing this kind of musings, demerit increase and merit decreases. Venerable sir, practicing what kind of musing does demerit decrease and merit increase? Here a certain one does not abide musing to covet others' belonging, abides without angry musing, does not abide musing to hurt others. Venerable sir, practicing this kind of musings, demerit decreases and merit increases. So this Pali word over here is abhijalu, is that the covet, covetousness, and then there is this angry, that is vyapada, and then the vihinsa, hurt others. Those three are the thoughts. So first we have this done by the body, three kind of things, and then four kind of verbal conduct, bad conduct, and then there is this the mental conduct. There are two over there, and with the thought one has got three. So I mean, we need to look at these things that we covered over here a little bit further, and we need to know how we can actually get rid of these things as well. So this abhijjalu is this or the covetousness is occurring when we see certain things that we regard them as, you know, let this be mine. This again going back to those four edible food thing, that the nutriment, the food as the nutriment thing, then we get this the perversion, that this is fair in the fowl, asubha subhasanya, and then because of that one we hold these things, you know, heavily in mind, that it's called kama upadana, sensual desire arising, and then those things used to lead to this abhijja, covetousness. So this one is before the greed. The covetousness is sort of fundamental, and that leads to the greed and lust. I have given a piece of paper to others. Now you can see in one page we have these bad parts, the other part, other page has got the good one. So first we have this Rome views, which we haven't actually started discussing yet. The next one is the Rome view, which one should be practicing, the other one should not be practicing. Because of the Rome view, we get ill will. And because of the Rome view, we get the covetousness. Both starting from the Rome view. So there is this linking. You can see there is an arrow from Rome view to ill will. And there is an arrow from Rome view to the covetousness. Probably you can put that light on over there. And you can see from the covetousness, one arrow is missing from covetousness. It should go to another arrow. It's got lost in printing. To the sensual misconduct, sexual misconduct, the last one, there should be an arrow from the covetousness. Covetousness lead to three things. One thing is the sexual misconduct, and the other one is the stealing, and then the lying. So they are interconnected. And ill will, vyapada, is leading to, again, three things. One is harsh speech, and next one is the slander, malicious speech, that is to split others, and killing. And you can see that from Rome view, we have the frivolous talks, gossip. Because of the, so if someone is actually have any gossip, you know, in the workplaces or somewhere, you can say it's because of the Rome view, something to do with the Rome view. And frivolous talks are, it's useless that, you know, talking about rubbish, you know, about kings, armies, or whatever thing it is, doesn't produce anything. And it's really, really bad, it's effective, with your mind.
I think because they think people think that these things make them
happy. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the delusion. It's the delusion, yeah.
So,
because of the wrong view, they do that.
Mm-hmm. And then they
keep on doing that. And if those people are actually not meditating, what I gave up when I actually went through the Eightfold Path meditation, the first one to give up was this one, the frivolous talks, you know, the useless talks. To make people happy, I say this one, and then in that one, because the Eightfold Path meditation, you are going with the right view. Whatever thing you have done before to affect that right view is coming back to you. With this one, feeding back. If you have the frivolous talk directly feed back to the wrong view.
The wrong view is because of the ignorance, isn't it? Otherwise,
yes.
Ignorance means it's ignorance because they don't know Dhamma.
Mm. Even you know the Dhamma, you know a little bit, may not know the whole thing. So because of that, I'm also doing it. So.
But what if this thought doesn't harm anybody?
It does harm you.
Yeah.
First person to harm, you see that the discourse, what is saying, that it is actually, if it is increasing the skill state of the mind and decrease the unskilled state of the mind, then it's okay to do it. So you can see immediately, that wording over here is very important. What Buddha said is whatever thing you are doing, it's a verbal or the mental or the physical, whatever the conduct that you have, you need to check whether this one actually increasing my skill state of the mind. And if decreasing the unskilled state of the mind, you can see immediately this one has a very tremendous effect. And it's increasing your unskilled state of the mind. And it's attacking directly your right view. And I detected that one straight away when I was doing the meditation. Then I gave it up.
It really creates noise in meditation.
That's right. Exactly. That's what I detected.
It comes up as a wave.
Wave. That's right.
So when you say frivolous talk, like talking about kings and armies, so if I talk for a long time about President Obama did this,
and the Chinese did
that, and all that sort of thing, is exactly what you mean?
Yes. We don't need to talk about them. I mean, they were elected by people for certain things, and whether they do it right or wrong. I mean, you have a right to sort of say this is right, this is wrong. But people are not normally, you know, when you are a kid, probably you can see that you are talking about the armies, you know, that they have these big army jets and all those things, and, you know, imagining in your mind and sort of thing and playing that one, so those things. And also, you make other people laugh. To make other people laugh, you do this, tell certain thing.
And to show the knowledge.
They show the knowledge, yeah, that's right. I know about this one, you know, they're boasting. So the boasting continues. And all those things we do because of those, because of the wrong will. And so whatever thing you do, because it's a volitional formation, sanskara, it feeds back to you. And consciousness is now constructed by those volitional formation, your own terms, that this is such and so. So you were doing it before because you are happy about it. So if you are happy, the mind is happy to produce that one for you as well. So keep on producing that. It's a very bad thing. Very bad as to, you know, that. Because that you feel that it is sort of innocent, it's okay. I mean, the question who's like that one as well. But it's really bad. Because for the meditator,
Once the sanskara created on the back of the mind, how long does we have to purify? Not one time, it keeps up coming again. So how long and how, what's the strength we should put up?
That's a good question. Mindfulness. That's what I actually thought of starting with. This question was...
Whenever it comes up, be aware.
Yes, you need to be aware of that, whatever the those things that are coming
out. Stop enjoying it.
That's the mindfulness is the biggest and the strongest to stop any of those things. For example, all these things, whether you know or not, it is originated from the sensual desire. Nothing else. All our volitions, our chetana, all intentions originated from the sensual desire. Hard to believe, isn't it? This Dhamma in these books says it's all our chetana also explain the volition. What is chetana is, I'll tell this one in Pali. Itipi kamesu sangyutto viharati bhavito ajosanya. I am chetana. Kama. Completely calm. Sensual desires, sensual things. Calm. Sangyutto, they're connected. Connected with sensual desire. We have sensual desire. They're connected with something, let's say we have some sort of example of food or hoppers or something. So there is this sensual desire, having eaten that one, so it won't come out. And then I'm connected with it, bhavito, that I'm using it. I'm happy to eat, you know, bhavito. Ajosan, I remain holding to it. That is volition. That is our volition. So one can actually think, oh, well, I have volitions apart from that one. You won't find any. But there is this, the other way around, where when you have the dispassion that is going to get rid of something, there is this volition, plus there is something that is the subjective thing that you construct. But for the generation of these things, all something to do with the sensual desire. So when you are saying, how do I shut it off? It shut it off by the mindfulness.
But it happened gradually. It doesn't happen gradually.
Well, you need to develop the mindfulness using the four foundations of mindfulness meditation. So you develop that one. It's gradual. It's not straight away.
So whenever it comes up, be aware of it.
It is thoroughly working this way. Let's say you have a sensual desire because there is some sort of a person, beautiful person or someone is coming up. Right? Some characteristics there. So first you need to know that person, if you are taking the person as that one. You need to take that person's real nature. It's a foul nature. What we have is the foul nature. To have that one, this ahara patikulata sanya, about the food, you need to develop that. That is that what will happen to the food when you put it to your mouth, in the stomach, and when it comes out, you know, that you look at that real nature, and then you actually see what is coming out is actually inside this body as well. Our blood, the water, urine, and everything. If you put pure water, what is coming out over here, you really get into that feeling. So now you understand that this body, every part of it, is that same foul nature. That the stinking nature. So when you are actually thinking about that perception, you really need to think, how do we know that this is foul? Your nose, the element nose has to be used very thoroughly here. When you see someone, it's not from the eye that you actually see the foul nature. It is from the nose that you see this one? How do you know that the excreta is actually bad from the smell? Oh, you have heard about it. Other people are, you know, have talked about it in disgusting way. And so you, in your eye, you actually make something, you know, out of that one. Oh, this is of this shape or something like that. But you can see the nose was the fundamental over here. Take urine. What is the main thing? It is nose. And you can see the all the six senses are dealing with this one, but the nose was so prominent in analyzing it and knowing it. Having known from that one, you have that perception, you apply that perception to the whole body, and then you see the disgusting nature of this body. Having got that nature, then you next one you develop is that the asubha sanya, the 32 parts of the body. Now you actually analyze each and every part of the body, hair of the body, nails, teeth, skin, flesh, everything. And then you have that first developed perception is now applied to this one. Okay, so now what we have seen is something of foul nature, asubha. Okay, what is sati? Mindfulness. Mindfulness tells you this one. It is not enough. It is just remind that one, because we, for a long time, we have been practicing to grab that one. Now you've got that perception that this is the form and such is its nature. The next one comes up is the arising phenomena and the passing away phenomena. That has to be developed thoroughly. Such is form, such is the arising phenomena, such is passing away phenomena. The arising phenomena is one seed delight in form, welcomes it, remain whole into it. Because by doing that one, that delight in form arises, and that delight in form leads to this craving, and then the clinging, and the clinging as condition, there's existence as condition, the birth. That's the arising phenomena, right? So the mind reminds that one. If you thoroughly know this phenomena, then what you know is, okay, this is crap. Well, this crap was created from this process. You are not angry about that one. This is the process. So you understand the process. So what you see when you see someone is that of this foul nature, body of foul nature with the 32 bag, you know, bag or full of dirty things, and this arising phenomenon. And then you see the passing away phenomenon. No one does not seek delight in form, does not welcome, does not remain whole into it. So then you see that part. Now remember, this mind is worse of that nature. It actually went through that 32 parts in a certain way. It actually saw that the excreta and all those things, the real nature, and every part, to the every part of the body, it was actually applied. And if you think about our body, you can see that this from the eye, discharges are coming up. From the ear, these discharges are coming up. And the saliva over here, and the urine, you know, there are these nine places. So you hold into those places very heavily, and what is happening over there, and apply to 32 parts. And now your mind is sort of refined, and that mind knows the arising phenomena, then it knows that this is just a process. Why would I get clinging to a process? You know, there are processes, you know, there are computer programs and a certain process that I get out of the bed and go to school and all those things. It's a process. So why would I cling to the process? This person was made from that process. When you understand that one, this one as a process, that's the highest and the sharpest thing to get rid of it. Did the foul nature help you to get into that one? So over here, that this question was asked from the Buddha, and so the Buddha was saying that whereby he shuts off the thinking with sensual desire is the mindfulness faculty. The Buddha said that he has to shut it off by the sensual desire. He would not want, Ajita, the Blessed One said, he would be undisturbed in mind and skilled in all ideas. That's the gatha, and that gatha was explained, and he says whereby he shuts off the thinking with sensual desire is the mindfulness faculty. Mindfulness has to be developed to shut it off. That whereby he shuts off the thinking with ill will is the concentration faculty, samadhi, concentration. That whereby he shuts off the thinking with cruelty is the energy faculty, effort. And whereby he abandons, dispels, terminates, annihilates, will and endure evil, unprofitable ideas as soon as they arise is the understanding faculty, wisdom faculty. And in act of trusting in these four faculties is the faith faculty. So the five faculties come to play to get rid of these things. So the sensual desire is got rid of by the mindfulness, and then ill will by the concentration, and cruelty is the energy faculty. So it is something like this, that you know, that in the renunciation we have this, that we have the grabbing sensual desire, and then there is the thought of renunciation. So first the mindfulness hold into that particular one, and this is of that, this nature, this is a process, this is the arising phenomenon, this is passing away phenomenon. And then the concentration does not allow you to deviate from that one, your thought. If you do not have the sensual desire, you don't have the anger. You have the anger because of the sensual desire has arisen before about that same thing. You know, if I see some sort of person I don't like, that means I have seen something better than him that I like. So then the concentration hold into that point, not allowing you to deviate from this one. You have the effort and not to get rid of those things, and you maintain that one. So the answer to the question is the mindfulness. So you can see now these, the eight wrong things over here, ten things over here called dasa akusal. The wrong view, ill will, covetousness, lying, harsh speech, frivolous talk, slander, killing, stealing, sexual misconduct. Those are called dasa akusal, ten unskilled state of the mind. And because of these ten, what we have, you can see that the what is written in the middle is the wrong view, wrong thought, wrong speech, wrong action, wrong livelihood, wrong effort, wrong mindfulness, wrong concentration. This is the wrong eightfold path. It is called, these eight are called any kind of evil and eight wrongnesses, the middle one. So you can see, start with the wrong view. The wrong view leads to wrong thought, wrong speech. They are all connected to each other. What it creates is the delusion. When you go through this path, what it creates is the delusion, moha, lobha and dosa. So those are the things. So you can see, whatever thing we have with these 10 unskilled states that we have on the leftmost column, and they are sort of replicated in the middle as well, as the third column, they feed back to the, for example, harming thought, feed back to the delusion. Delusion feed back to the harming thought. Sensual thought feed the lust, and the lust is actually holding the sensual thought. So you can see there are arrows from the frivolous talk, the delusion, and the harsh speech going to hate, and the slander leading to hate, and killing leading to hate. So you can see the lobha, dosa, moha, the delusion, lust and hate, those three are in the wrong eightfold path. Most of the time we are in this wrong eightfold path. Most of the time that's where we are. Unless you are in wise attention, that's where we are. We think that we are not, but we are. Because most of the time our mind is in the equanimity state. That is, you get the manapa, that is this the likable object, and then I get dislike object. And think about in the lifetime, how many times you are getting like object and the dislike object. Most of the time what we have is neither like nor dislike, right? What you have in that one is moha. In that one, what you have, if you are not actually contemplating about the impermanent nature, suffering nature, not self nature, what you have in that feeling is the delusion. Because of the delusion, then you can see, I start with the wrong view, I go through this path without knowing. Why? Because we have been practicing this one for many, many years. When the Buddha is not here, not appearing in a world, Buddha's appearing is very rare, we have been using this one and we still continue to use this one. That's why we can't get out easily. Unless we use the wise attention, yoniso manasikara, wise attention, that's where we can actually get rid of these things. Not in this path, then you are jumping into the next field, if you have the wise attention. So I have a small note over here. See that there's a connection between the covetousness and the greed. Covetousness is the unprofitable root consisting in greed. So it's leading to the greed. Ill will is the unprofitable root consisting in hate. Wrong view is the unprofitable root consisting in delusion. So there are connection between those as well. So when you have the when you are not doing those 10 unskilled things, because Buddha is saying give up these things, they are unskilled, go into the skill states. So what we discussed so far is getting to the skill state. So when you get into the skill state, that you have this right view, non-ill will, and then the non-covetousness, that is the anabhijja. So those, there are certain links. I have left it out because I have explained it in the previous page. Those links are there, so other way round of those links work over here. You can see that if you refrain from killing, that one is leading to the non-hatred. If you refrain from stealing, it is leading to the non-greed, aloga. And these three things, because you have the right view, that is, the amoha is there, leading to the amoha, or non-delusion. So non-delusion, non-greed, and non-hatred, they all lead to right view, right thought, right speech, right action, right livelihood, right effort, right mindfulness, and right concentration. Now, you can see, if I take the hatred, non-hatred, adosa, non-hatred leading to three things in the Eightfold Path. That is right speech, right action, and right livelihood. So the virtue part, easy to remember. And then non-greed, aloba, lead to right thought and the right effort and the right concentration. Why? You see, the right thought is thought of renunciation. Thought of renunciation is that I don't want to have the sensual things, kama vitakka, I want the non-sensual, so I want to get rid of that one. Then, so I develop giving up the sensual thing and abiding the concentration, jhana concentration. So that leads to, that is from the non-greed. I don't want to have this, I go on that one. And eventually Buddha is saying, give up that one as well. Buddha said, because you have this household has got three kinds of pleasure, displeasure, and the neutral feeling. And the renunciation also, there is this three kind of pleasure, displeasure, and the neutral feeling. So Buddha is replacing the householder's pleasure, displeasure, and neutral feeling with the renunciation, pleasure, displeasure, and neutral feeling. So that renunciation part is something to do with the greed. So greed is a root for that one. Non-greed is a root for that one. And similarly, the next link from the non-greed is to right effort. What we do in the effort? Effort is effort to discard the evil that has arisen, right? So you can see that I don't want these greedy things. I give up that one. And the concentration, the right concentration, samma samadhi, what we do? Vivicheva kami, apusale dhammi, savitakkam savitaram, vivekajam, pretisukam, pratamadhyanam. So that we, with the initial application and sustained application, giving up the thoughts about this, sensual thoughts and all those things, by being the first jhana, concentration. So again, giving up the sensual part and going to the higher concentrations with the rapture. So you can see the non-greed lead to those three things. So it's the root of these three things. And the non-delusion, amoha, is leading to the right view and the right mindfulness. So the mindfulness is a wisdom in its own. And this body is of the foul nature. And it's a process. This is the arising phenomena. This is the passing away phenomena. So it reminds. And how do we know this one? From the wisdom that we have actually learned and developed before, that this birth is suffering, aging is suffering, and all those things, and that one lead to that wisdom. This one is a bit heavy, but what I'm trying to show over here is the connection between this discourse and this Eightfold Path. And the connection between this, the unskilled states described over here with the wrong Eightfold Path. So this discourse is very powerful. I was meditating on this discourse, for example, this morning as well, because I use this one time to time. For the first half an hour, I couldn't stop rapture. It keep on flowing because you go through the discourse first. You just recollect Buddha said, give up this. This is unskilled. Go into the skilled one. So this kind of conduct is bad. This kind of conduct is good. This kind of thought is bad. This kind of thought is good. So you try to keep on applying that one. There's nothing if you believe this discourse and keep on applying. It's only rapture it's producing. So then you need to apply to the rapture the same discourse that we are going to learn a little bit more. And it's where it is ending. It is ending with the Nibbana. Nowhere else it stops. Because you can see that at the end Buddha says the arising of of a attabhava patilabham, you know, arising of a, you know, going to a, getting a personality, right, even the never-returner, being born in another world, Buddha said that is, that should not be followed, because it's unskilled. So he's going up to that level. So, it's a really good discourse. So, that this one actually explains the connection between these terms. So, now, then Buddha said, that so we did up to this thoughts, and there is a part missing in this discourse as well in English translation, the gain of perception. We actually talk about the arising of thoughts, and there is something called gain of perception as well. The explanation is same as this cittuppada, the thoughts. Same thing explained with the perception. Whatever the perceptions that we are going to get, you know, by these the mental actions, and one to be followed, one is not to be followed. And then Buddha said that it was said, Bhikkhu, the gain of view too is twofold, consisting of that should be practiced and should not be practiced. That too quite different from each other. On account of what was it said by the Blessed One, when practicing the gain of a certain view, if demerit increases and merit decreases, such gain of view should not be practiced. When practicing the gain of a certain view, if demerit increases and merit increases, such gain of view should be practiced. Venerable Sir, practicing the gain of what kind of view does demerit increase and merit decrease? Here a certain one has these views. There are no results of gifts, sacrifices and offerings. There are no results for good and bad actions. There is no this world, no other world, no mother, no father, no spontaneous arising beings. There are no recluses and Brahmins who realize in this world and the other world declare it. Venerable Sir, practicing this kind of view, demerit increases and merit decreases. So this is the michaditya, or the wrong view. So you can see that one wrong view is there is no mother, no father. What does that mean? No mother, no father. Well, someone actually go into the annihilistic view that I do not exist. I do not exist. So if I do not exist, I don't have a mother, I don't have a father, I don't have a teacher. Right? So that's one of the views. So if you say that I do exist, then there is another problem. So there are that sort of michaditti, and there's this no other, there this world, there's no other world as well. And Venerable Sir, practicing the gain of what kind view does demerit increase and merit, demerit decrease and merit increase? Here in certain one has these views. These are the result of gift, sacrifices and offering. There are results for good and bad actions. There is this world, another world, mother, father, spontaneous arising beings. There are recluses and Brahmins who realize in this world and the other world declare it. When also practicing the gain of this kind of view, demerit decreases and merit increases. So you can see the wrong view, and there is this mundane right view. This is the mundane right view, it's not the supramundane right view. Supramundane right view is the understanding about the Four Noble Truths itself. If it was said by the Blessed One, Bhikkhu, the gain of views is twofold, consisting of that should be practiced and should not be practiced, that too quite different from each other. It was said on account of this. It was said, Bhikkhu, personal gains too are twofold. That is attabhava patilabha. That is what I was explaining a little while ago. Personal gains too are twofold, consisting of that should be practiced and should not be practiced. That too quite different from each other on account of what was said by the Blessed One. When practicing personal gains, if demerit increases and the merit decreases, such gain should not be practiced. When practicing personal gains, if demerit decreases, merit increases, such personal gain should be practiced. So if you apply this one to attabhava, you know that we have, everybody got this one, you know, being born. If there is lust, malice and the delusion. So you keep on applying to that one. Apply to the never return. He has got only one birth, right? Even that birth should not be acquired, because when you get that one, is the unskilled state. So where you can actually stop this one, you know, if you apply that rule, it is only the Nibbana. There's nothing before that one, you can stop this ideas that Buddha is explaining. It is that powerful. Venerable sir, practicing what kind of personal gains does demerit increase and merit decrease? Venerable sir, when troublesome personal gains are born on account of not ending being, demerit increases and merit decreases. Venerable sir, practicing what kind of personal gains does demerit decrease, the merit increase? Venerable sir, when non-troublesome personal gains are born on account of not ending being, demerit decreases and merit increases. That is that never return state that we are talking about. Reborn ended and reborn not ended. If it was said by the Blessed One, Bhikkhu, personal gains are twofold, consisting of that should be practiced and should not be practiced, that too quite different from each other. It was said on account of this. So Venerable Sir, this I know as the detailed explanation of the short exposition given by the Blessed One. Good Sariputta, good that you know the detailed explanation of the short exposition given by me. And Buddha repeated the same thing, because it is so valuable. It is so valuable, Buddha repeated the same thing again. And if in the meditation, if you think that these two great beings are saying this one repeatedly, the same thing again and again, and I do also better, I would be better doing it myself as well, then you can see you are not stopping anywhere. So that's why I said that it's so rapturous to do this one. And so I would jump into the page, actually 7th page, because that Buddha said the same thing, what we discussed so far. And then Buddha, the 7th page, the 3rd paragraph, you can see the Buddha is starting again about continuing on the discourse. Sariputta, forms cognizable by eye consciousness, two are twofold, consisting of those that should be followed and not followed. Sound cognizable eye consciousness are twofold, consisting of those that should be followed and not followed. Sense cognizable by nose consciousness are twofold, consisting of those that should be followed and not followed. Taste and touches, tangible things. And then the ideas cognizable by the mind consciousness are twofold, consisting of those that should be followed and not followed. Regarding the eye, ear, nose, tongue, body and the mind, so there are these 6 kind of consciousness. So one to be followed, one to be given up. And when this was said, Venerable Sariputta said, Venerable Sir, the detailed explanation of the short exposition given by the Blessed One, I know as this. It was said, Sariputta, forms cognizable by eye consciousness are also twofold, those that should be followed and not followed on account of what was it said by the Blessed One. Venerable Sir, when following certain forms cognizable by eye consciousness, demerit increases and merit decreases. Such forms should not be followed. When following certain forms cognizable by eye consciousness, demerit decreases and merit increases. Such forms should be followed. It was said, Sariputta, forms cognizable by eye consciousness are twofold, those that should be followed and not followed. It was said on account of this. Now link this one to the first noble truth, the second noble truth. What's the second noble truth? So the thought of renunciation, wherever the craving, we have to give up the craving for existence and craving for non-existence. And Buddha explained this one a little bit further. And Buddha said, wherever I is enticing and pleasurable, that is where the craving gets established, that's the place to give up. And then Buddha went to eye, ear, nose, tongue, body, and then into the eye consciousness. When the eye consciousness is pleasurable and enticing, that's where the craving gets established. And the third noble truth says, where the eye is enticing and pleasurable, that's where the craving gets established, that's the place to remove it. So you can see that is the second noble truth and the third noble truth. Keep on applying to eye, ear, nose, tongue and body over here, this part. It is that deep. So Buddha said that all those things has to be given up whenever this if the craving gets established, that means it's leading to the unskilled state. And we are going in wrong eightfold path. And if we are removing the craving, then we are in the correct eightfold path. RN eightfold path. So similarly, so Venerable Sariputta the went through that the sounds, sense, taste, and then the ideas cognizable by the mind, consciousness are also twofold, those that should be followed and not followed on account of what was said by the Blessed One. Venerable Sir, when following certain ideas cognizable by mind consciousness, demerit increases and merit decreases, such ideas should not be followed. When following certain ideas cognizable by mind consciousness, demerit decreases and mind increase, merit increases, such ideas should be followed. Ito said Sariputta, ideas cognizable by mind consciousness, two are twofold, those that should be followed and not followed. Venerable Sir, the detailed explanation of the short exposition given by the Blessed One, I know this. Good Sariputta, good, that you know the detailed explanation of the short exposition given by me. So then the Buddha repeated the thing again. The same thing that what Venerable Sariputta said, Buddha repeated. I say forms cognizable by consciousness are also twofold, and even went up to that one. So I jump into the page 9 now, and Buddha started again. It's actually the second, third, fourth, the fifth paragraph over there. Sariputta, I say even robes are twofold. That should be used and not used. Even Moses are twofold, that is food, that should be used and not used. Even dwellings are twofold, that should be used and not used. Even villages are twofold, hamlets, and then towns, and then states, and also persons, one to be used, one to not be used. And then Venerable Sariputta said, Venerable Sir, the detailed explanation of the short exposition given by the Blessed One, I know as this. It was said, Sariputta, I say robes are twofold, also twofold, those that should be used and not used, on account of what was it said by the Blessed One. Venerable Sir, when using certain robes, demerit increases and merit decreases, such robes should not be used. When using certain robes, demerit decreases, merit increases, such robes should be used. So, it was said, Sariputta, robes two are twofold, those that should be used and not used, it was said on account of this. So, we also should think about, So you can see, even for the, it's robes for the monks, for us, we have clothes. So, when we are using certain clothes, and if it is actually increasing, we should not be following those things as well. Well, if you are believing the Buddha and you follow the thing, that's what we should be thinking, that whatever these things, it's just to cover the body. If you actually have the craving for the clothes, and if it is increasing in this unskilled stage, then think about it.
Yeah. I think that is the beginning. And when you come to certain extent, if you are ready to look at it right view, you can use anything. You used to say that.
Yes.
Use it without attaching. Attaching to it. I think that is happening at one stage.
Yes.
You can use anything, even gold, but if you know this.
Well, in the society when you live, you have to do certain things. But as you said, that if you actually apply the right feel, that I'm doing this for the sake of doing sort of thing, then that's okay. That it's okay. But one day you will have the guts and the ability to, I don't want these things, and sort of give up.
It is renunciation, like becoming a monk, like that. Then they have the rules, so
still. Yes.
But as a lay person, it's at one point you can see that.
You see, this Albert Einstein, he wear every day white shirt and a black trouser, nothing else. What he was telling is he doesn't have to choose colors every day. I want to get this red, blue, all those things. He doesn't spend any time or second on that one. Pick up the white shirt, black trouser, go to work like that. See, we can do that one. Nobody complain if I use the white shirt and that one. Only problem is when you are getting the gifts from the others, you get the color ones. Very rarely you get the white ones, right? And so that about the robes. And then about the foods. Food also is twofold. You know, one to practice, one not to practice. You know, we make food for what? For the taste and the, you know, that keeping our, you know, all those things. But that increases the unskilled state of the mind and decreases the skilled state of the mind. So you don't have to go there yet, but one day we can. It was said, Sariputta, I say dwellings are also twofold, that certain ones to be used, certain ones to be given up. So if you are living in certain places, that if you think that because of your neighbor or whatever thing it is, that there are problems, or the way that you have constructed the house or the, you know, the outside, that I feel like staying inside because of the loveliness or beauty of the earth. Make some flowers or something outside the garden so that your mind goes out of the house at least. And you need to have the balance over there. There is something in it as well. And well, we get attached to so many things, you know, even the cushions and the certain things we use at home. And then villages also, that if someone is, one is using the village, certain village, that if the demerit increases because that the people in that village are doing only bad things, you know, they go to parties and all those things, that's all they do, and sort of thing, one has to give up, probably go near a temple. And then the hamlets, and then towns, and then the janapada, that is states. And again, Buddha said about, it was said, Sariputta, I say persons are also twofold, those that should be used and not used, on account of what was said in the Blessed One. Venerable Sir, when using certain persons, demerit increases and merit decreases, such persons should not be used. When using certain persons, demerit decreases, merit increases, such persons should be used. It was said, Sariputta, persons two are twofold, those should be used and not used. So this is one of the major things.
But in that case, what happens if we think there is a person, but when we associate with that person, so your merit decreases. But if you stop associating with that person, if that person get hurt, but what happens then?
Doesn't matter. Associating means that you are still smiling that person. Mm-hmm. You are still helping him if you can help him. You are not giving up that sort of path.
Okay.
But you are not going to, you know, the parties and the trips and all those things with them and not having much company. You keep at that distance. Mm-hmm. It is not completely cut off in the sense that, you know. So by that way, one can do. I mean, if you do live with them, it is the most harmful thing. Mm-hmm. Buddha said in the Avijja Sutta,
Anguttara Nikaya. Yes, even though you go there, or if you associate with somebody, so if you don't like within yourself, so you get your demerits increased because of the thoughts, isn't it?
Yeah, so it's not that I like or I don't like. It is the things that he is doing.
Mm-hmm.
Because he is pursuing you to let's go to watch a film, movie, or let's do this sort of thing, let's have a party, let's be together and sort of thing, let's enjoy, let's listen to music and sort of thing. So you become part of that thing.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore you can't actually do the meditation next day, sure. And then you also think, that's the way to live.
Mm-hmm.
And your children also think, that's the way to live. So everybody's mind gets corrupted.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because we have been living like that one for a long, long time, infinitely. We have been living like that one. So our nature is that I used to do that one. It's okay. It's innocent. I just go with that one. Going with the wave. That's what it is. So this is really bad. I have cut down as much as I can. Whether other people are angry with me or sort of thing, doesn't matter. As far as I am maintaining the Eightfold Path, virtue and things, you think me, that is fine.
Because they are angry, it doesn't happen the way they want it.
That's right.
Yeah.
They are angry because that we are not coming to their party, so yeah. We are not coming to these things. But no harm to you by not going.
But at certain stage, they will realize this person is not coming.
That's right.
No need to
yes. Yes.
It will be an habitual practice.
Yes. They so know that this person is such and such character. Let him, you know, be there and I'll be my own. And
for example, we don't even like to come to a party. What do you mean?
Yeah, it is. So that's that one has to avoid this one because that we get these bad things,
mm-hmm.
bad practices out of that.
Yeah, and also now with regard to that, the person we should not associate. There are some people they are not asking for party or something, but sometimes they create some environment which is sometimes making our mind.
Yes, they do. Yes, Buddha said in a discourse, this suffering, either you made it yourself or others made it to you. So they make it for you. You know, that's whether you like it or not, it is like that. And so then the Buddha repeated the same thing again, that what Venerable Sariputta said. You see that, I don't know how many monks were listening to this one. I'm sure they all went to this very high state of concentration, because there's nothing that you can actually keep in this one. And other than attaining Nibbana, if you follow this discourse, if you understand this Eightfold Path, this connection, you keep on traveling through the Eightfold Path. You give up the wrong Eightfold Path, you keep on traveling through the Eightfold Path. You maintain every thought, only the skilled ones. Unskilled ones are given up. So when you keep on maintaining the skills one, and you have the virtue over here, the concentration and the wisdom, everything is here. So it's when I read this one first time, about 10 years ago, I think, so I sort of got to know the meaning of these terms. I struggled a bit to understand. And I thought that, okay, that I know these are the things monk have been telling us all the time. You know, even Sri Lanka, the monks are telling about this dasa kusal, 10 skill state of the mind. And this is what it is. But the next day when I go through this one, I go through it thoroughly in my mind, taking each step thoroughly and remembering that one as well. So when next day I'm actually in the meditating, this one came back. This one working. Inside my mind, this one is working. So I realize how powerful is this discourse. What I have to do is give up the unskilled ones, keep the skilled ones. You know, I keep on doing the meditation. And then I read this one again. And today, when I was doing the meditation and when I went through this one, I recollect that one. The mere recollection of that one is good enough. Each term you recollect, I'm in the rapture state. Each term, I'm rapturous. So I remember this Venerable Sariputta, the great being, and the Buddha is repeating to each other this particular one. And that mindfulness we were discussing a little while ago also, to cut down these things, what I need to have, the mindfulness. So mindfulness, if I have the mindfulness, I'm getting rid of the sensual desires. That is the major thing I have to get rid of, thinking about. So over there Buddha says that this the people are putting dirty things on earth, that the earth does not get troubled by that one. So you make it vast. Your mind make it vast. So these things are not mine. First it is applying the principle that these things are not mine. That whatever the dirty things, whatever the pleasurable things, good things, all those things are not mine. That view is there, eliminating from the mind. And you are making your mind vast.
This is
the beginning if you use the first few. But if you use all of them, this is the completely developed thing. There's nothing more than this one in Buddhism. This discourse is Buddhism. The whole Buddhism is here in these pages. If you see that the connection about this Eightfold Path, and this is what we do. We always give up the unskilled one, attain the skilled one. So for a person who has got sensual desire, Buddha said, sensual desire is sort of a bad thing. It is a bad thing in the sense, Buddha compared to a bone without the flesh, you know, the fleshless bone. A dog is trying to eat that one, he is not getting anything out of it. The satisfaction is that much, because that blood coming out of the dog's teeth and falling onto that one, that's the licking and that's all. So Buddha said that there is this pressure that you can develop, you can get by attaining the first jhana concentration, rapture. So Buddha said, give up this sensual pleasure because of that one. So you were given a really big thing, much more pleasurable, 1,000 times pleasurable than this little thing. So given that one, Buddha said, go into the first one. And then after getting to the first one, Buddha said, this is not good enough. Get rid of it, go into the second one. So that is the second. Again, we apply this principle again. Okay, then the first one, if I stay there and I cling to that one, my unskilled states develop, right? Unskilled states are increasing. So I want to get into the skill state. So how do I get into the skill state? I give up the first jhana and go into the second jhana. And then when you go to the second jhana concentration level, Buddha said, this is not good enough, you go to the third one. If I stay in the second one, then I am there. So because I like it, I'll stay there. I like the rapture, that's why I am staying there. So get rid of the rapture and go into the pleasure. So that the third jhana concentration. And when you go into that one, again Buddha applies this principle again. So you go into the fourth jhana and go into the eighth jhana. And after going to the eighth jhana, Buddha said, go into the Nirodha, Samapatti, cessation of feeling and perception. Having reached over there, Buddha said, all those things we talked so far are all constructed. Get rid of it. Attain the Nibbana. So where does it stop? And this discourse does not stop anywhere before Nibbana. Because you need to apply every rule over here to every thought.
It's like not staying in the bottom of the
sea. That's right.
Life.
Yeah.
Life. This is the way of life.
Mm. So for a person who does not have the bodily, good bodily conduct, so he first developed the good bodily conduct that I am not going to kill, steal or sexual misconduct, so that is fine. And then he purify and he developed the good verbal conduct. I don't want to have this harsh speech, frivolous talks, lying and that one. Having done that, he is actually developing the mental conduct. And having developed the mental conduct, now he is actually, if he has got this 10 developed, 10 dasakusal developed, when he recollect that I have these things, what arises is the gladness, happiness, rapture. So from the rapture, he will go into the concentration. Then he apply the concentration part over here. Whatever the consciousness this is that I have right now, that if it is actually not developing, am I attaching to that one, then that is the unskilled state that I am developing. So I need to get rid of that one. So going to the higher one. So every part of the one, you see that I mentioned one for a never return as well. Atta bhava patilabha. Personality. Reborn not ended. Buddha said, do not go for the reborn not ended. That means don't go for any other world. Never return is born in only one place. Right? So even for him, there is this dhamma in this discourse. And I actually did not realize the dasa kusal, these 10 skill states of dasa kusal is the main thing until recently. It is such a great thing. So people understand that one. I mean, that after that one, I actually developed this paper out of this Petakopadesa and Nettipakkarana. It actually gives these links. These two books are from Kuddaka Nikaya. The last two books, Nettipakkarana and Petakopadesa. It gives those links how it works. So it is the main thing. This is the whole Buddhism, nothing more. We stop for today.